Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
You know, God wants us to walk in the fullness of what He's promised. He wants us to walk in the fullness of the blessing that He has for our lives. Many times people, they don't experience the full reward that comes from believing God, obeying God, following God. Many times people just walk away with a partial blessing. They don't receive the full measure of what God has for them. So we want to walk in the full measure of what God has for us. We want to receive a full reward on the things that we've asked God for, the things that we have believed God for. So tonight He's going to help us with that. We see that here in 2 John chapter 1 and in verse 8. The Bible says, "Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward." Many times people start out good and they start getting a hold of the blessings of God for their life, the plan of God for their life. They start walking out that plan of God for their life, and then they lose it. Somewhere along the line, they lose it. And they don't come to the full reward of what God had for them. So He says, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for. We can also say that we don't lose those things we prayed for. Right? We've prayed for things, we've asked for things, we believe we receive things from God. Now we need to hang on until we see the full reward of the thing that we were believing for, the thing that we had asked for, the thing that we had prayed for, the thing that we had worked for. Many people have taken their authority over the devil. They've received the promise of God by faith, and then somewhere along the line, they lost it. They lost it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you can illustrate it with someone going fishing. You know, you go out there, you cast that line out in the water, and you hook one. And man, your rod's just bending. And you know, you got a big one on there, and you're reeling it in, and you're working and praying, and working and praying. And next thing you know, you can see that thing start underneath the water, getting close to the boat, and you can see this is a monster fish, and you're just about ready to pull the thing out. And all of a sudden, the line breaks, and it gets away. Has anybody ever had that happen to them? It's a terrible feeling. Terrible feeling that you just about had it, and then you lost it. Well, you see, it could be that way with the things that we're working for spiritually, or the things that we're praying for spiritually, the things we're believing God concerning in our life. We can lose those things that we started to lay hold of, the things that we did receive from Him. You say, oh, you know, what's the problem? Why do people lose it? Well, let's go to Mark the 11th chapter for some answers tonight. Mark the 11th chapter, verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." So we see here verse 23 and 24 both go together. And the Bible here is talking about the prayer of faith. So in verse 23, he's talking about talking to your mountains, talking to the thing that you have need of, to speak to it, the thing that may be in your way, the obstacles of life. He said, command it to be removed, and you'll have whatever you say. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So you'll have what you say, you'll have the things that you ask for, and we know that we're to believe we receive when we pray. When we're praying, asking God for something, we're to be or commanding something to be removed in the name of Jesus by faith in God, we are receiving it at the moment that we're saying it or praying it. Right there at that moment. So asking is receiving. It's not asking and a hoping. It's not asking and we'll wait and see. It's asking and receiving at the time you're asking. You're receiving at the same time you're asking. We got to get a hold of that. See, over in James chapter 1, he says that we're to ask in faith. Well, faith believes it receives what it's asking for when it asks. That's so important to receiving from God. A lot of people, they are asking and then hoping and waiting and seeing and then looking at their circumstances to see if they're going to get their prayer answered, if what they say is actually going to come to pass. They're waiting to see. Well, we understand. We've been taught well enough here in this church that you receive when you ask. If you're not ready to receive, then you're not ready to ask. You need to go sit down in the Word of God. Meditate on the promises of God. You need to have fellowship with God. Talk to Him about these things. Get yourself over into a place where you're ready to receive before you ask. And so, a lot of folks have understood that, and they have asked. And they have received when they asked. And they believed. But yet, they did not see what they asked for come to pass. Well, if you look again at verse 23, you'll find out that in most cases, this is the reason right here. He says, and does not doubt in his heart. And does not doubt in his heart. Now, a lot of times we think about doubting when we're asking. Well, we understand you can't be doubting when you're asking. You have to ask in faith, fully convinced, knowing that you have the thing you're asking for. But you can begin to doubt after you have asked in faith and received the thing that you asked for from God. You asked for it, you received it, praise God, you got it. Now you're walking out the plan of God. You're walking it out. May even begin to see some of the circumstances in your life begin to change. And things starting to line up to the thing that you asked God for. The thing you received from Him. Now you're out there, you're walking it out, and you're seeing things lining up, things happening, and it's starting to come to pass. But at any time in this process, a person can doubt. And the moment you doubt, you lose the reward. You lose the thing that you had received from Him. I received it, but then I lost it. Again, just kind of like that fish. You received it, you hooked it, got it, pulling it in, starting to see it. There it is. Things are starting to line up, and the line breaks. See, it's the same way with faith. We need to continue in faith without doubting. Doubt is the thing that robs people of the greater blessing. And that was something that the Spirit of God actually spoke to Kenneth Hagin's heart one day. He spoke to him and said that doubt is the thief of God's greater blessings. It's the thief of God's greater blessings. That's exactly what it is. It's a thief. And a scripture that he used, and we'll go to it right now, over in Matthew chapter 14. This scripture illustrates it so well, and it's Peter walking on the water. I think I just talked about him on Sunday. We're not picking on Peter. You understand? We're learning through his example. Through his failure, you and I can learn to succeed. I like learning from other people's failures rather than having to have my own. How about you? I'd rather not have to fail if I don't have to. And we shouldn't have to. God's given us other people that have for us. He's given us a whole book of folks that have failed for us. Thank God for that. Amen. So we don't have to do what they did. We can walk in victory. But we see it over here in Matthew, the 14th chapter, starting in verse 25. It says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them," went to his disciples who were out in a boat, "walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased." So this is a perfect illustration of how a person could believe God's word, step out on the word of God, and then begin to doubt and lose the very thing that they started to actually receive from God. I mean, think about Peter here. He stepped out of the boat and he walked on the water. A lot of times folks just really focus in on the fact that he sunk. But we have to remind ourselves, you know, what he did was miraculous. It was absolutely miraculous. He stepped out of the boat, just like Jesus was out of the boat and on the water. He walked on the water. Now, we don't know how far he walked. But he got close enough to Jesus that when he began to sink, Jesus was just able to reach out his arm to him and grab him. So he may have been walking, you know, a little distance. So he was walking in the supernatural. He was walking in the miraculous. He was walking in the power of God. How did that happen? He believed the words of Jesus, or the word of Jesus, which is the word of God. He believed the word. So he says, well, it was because it was Jesus. It was because Jesus is God in the flesh. And it was because Jesus was standing there that enabled Peter to walk on the water. Well, then why did Peter begin to sink while Jesus was standing there? He began to sink right there in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus did not reach down and pick him up and say, well, sometimes my Father will hold you up. Sometimes he'll drown you. Sometimes he'll dunk you. Sometimes he'll pick you up. God is sovereign. He does what he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. And if he wants to make you stand on the water, he'll make you stand on the water. If he wants to make you sink, he'll make you sink. You had nothing to do with it. And yet we know that's not true because Jesus said why he sank. Jesus said exactly why he sank. He said, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? It was doubt. It was doubt that caused him to begin to sink. What did he doubt? He doubted the word that he heard. He doubted what Jesus said. Jesus said, come. He was coming to Jesus, but he didn't make it all the way. He doubted that he could make it all the way. Why? Because he began to get his eyes on his circumstances. He began to look at what was going on around him. I'm telling you, there's a principle here that we can learn in life that'll keep us from only going part of the way with God, where we believe we received from him. The supernatural power of God begins to work in our life. God's miracle provision begins to come towards us. We begin to move towards it. And then people get their eyes on their circumstances. They begin to look at the things that are going on around them. They get focused in on other things. And they lose sight of Jesus. They lose sight of the Word of God. And now the things that are going on around them carry more weight than the Word of God, than what God said. And that weight will sink you every time. So we don't want to be weighted down with the cares of this life. We want to be full of the Word of God. Full of the Word of God. That's where our thoughts are. That's where our mind is. No matter what's going on in life, we ask the question, what does the Word say? Well, what does the Word say about this? We don't just settle for this. We don't just look at this, whatever this might be. Our focus is on what God says about this. What the Word of God says. What he promised. We keep our focus on him. But as soon as Peter got his focus on the wind and the waves and on these circumstances, he immediately began to fear. And fear is the opposite of faith. And that fear gripped him, and he immediately began to sink. And Jesus asked the question, why did you doubt? Now you think about that question. Why did you doubt? In other words, you didn't have to. You did not have to doubt. A lot of times people feel like they have no other choice. You know, have you seen what happened? Do you see what's going on? Do you see the kind of trial and test that I'm experiencing? Of course I'm going to be afraid. Of course I'm going to doubt. But no, Jesus says, why did you? Why did you? You didn't have to. You don't have to doubt God's word. We don't have to be doubters. We are believers. Somebody say, I'm a believer. I am not a doubter. There's never a good time to doubt. It's never a good time to doubt. As long as Peter acted upon the word of Jesus, he walked on the water. How do you know it was not the will of God, the will of Jesus, for Peter to sink? Now here he is, steps out of the boat, starts walking on the water. I mean, the other disciples see the miracle working power of God is right there in front of them. They're seeing this supernatural provision from heaven taking place. And then suddenly he begins to sink. What if Jesus was not standing there in a physical body? What happens if Jesus was not there to reach out and grab Peter by the hand and save him? Could he have drowned? Could he have drowned? He could have drowned. And then what would everybody have concluded? Well, you see, God never really wanted him to walk on the water anyway. It's obvious God never really wanted him to walk on the water, because God wanted him to walk on the water, God would have kept him on top of the water. God would not have allowed him to sink. If God wanted him healed, God would never have let him to die. If God wanted them to have this, he would have made sure it happened. If God wanted to bring it to pass, God would have brought it to pass. See, this is how a lot of people believe. This is how a lot of people talk. But we know, really, God had nothing to do with him almost drowning. God had nothing to do with him sinking. It was him doubting that caused him to begin to sink. It was him doubting the word of God. As long as he acted upon the word of God, he walked on the water. When he got his eyes off Jesus, his eyes off the word, and began to doubt, he began to sink. And you'll find in your life that wherever you've begun to sink, wherever you begin to lose the things that you had believed God for, you'll find many times it's because of doubt. Doubt got in and stole it from you. Doubt stole it from you. We don't need to be looking at God and saying God did it. We need to do what 2 John chapter 1 says, and we need to look to ourselves. Remember, 2 John chapter 1, look to yourselves. Look to yourselves that we do not lose the things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Look to yourselves. That word look to yourselves, when you look it up in the original Greek language, it could also mean watch yourselves. Watch yourselves. You know, people don't watch themselves enough. Watch yourselves. Another way of saying it is beware of yourself. Beware of yourself, or be aware of yourself. Watch yourself. We need to be able to locate ourselves when we are doubting, when we begin to move out of faith. But a lot of times people don't look to themselves. They don't watch themselves. They watch somebody else. They look at somebody else. They blame it on somebody else. It usually starts with God and then maybe other people as well. This is why this happened. I would not be in this situation if they. He didn't say, look to your neighbor. Concerning you receiving a full reward. He didn't say, blame it on somebody else. He says, look to yourself. In other words, evaluate yourself. Judge yourself. Be able to locate yourself. Be able to recognize where you're at. And many times you can recognize where you're at by what's coming out of your mouth. Because doubt has a voice. And many times when people are in doubt, they're going to speak their doubt. Their doubt is going to slip out. They're going to hear it if they're listening. They're going to say things like, I can't. I can't. We just couldn't. I just don't understand. I just don't understand. You know, those are the words of doubt. I just don't understand. Because you know, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. But if you look it up in the original Greek language, that word hearing could also be translated understanding. Faith comes by hearing and understanding the word of God. So the moment you start saying, I don't understand, you dislocated yourself. Are you looking? Are you watching? Are you evaluating? Are you examining? Are you checking on yourself? How's your talk? You know, if you're in a vehicle and lights are flashing, you may want to look into that. These are indicators. What we're saying are indicators that we're either in faith or out of faith. I don't understand. Well, I was concerned when I saw how it looked. you know, I was doing all right. And then I saw this symptom. I saw these symptoms. And I got concerned. A lot of folks, also they'll look and they'll see something and they get, well, that's what happened to Peter. He looked. He looked at the waves. He saw the wind blowing on the waves. And he became concerned. Can you blame the guy for getting concerned? It's a very noble thing to be concerned. No, he doubted. He doubted. He became concerned. Well, we're praying about it. We're praying about it, you know, about whatever it is that they say they believe. God has taken care of it for him. Well, if you believe God's taking care of it for you, what in the world are you praying about it for? Why don't you just go ahead and thank him for it? Because it's supposed to be done, right? You believed, you received. It's done. But no, people many times, they're still praying about it. In other words, they believe they received, but now they're going back to praying about it. Which means they've doubted. They've lost it. Do you see that? Well, I'm just trying to be strong. You know, we're trying to be strong. And people know that's doubt. You are not believing in the power of God. You're not believing the promise of God, right? Because the Bible says be strong in the Lord. Not strong in yourself, but strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we're, again, got to be able to recognize a lot of people, their body language. Are you watching your body language? A lot of folks, I mean, you can see a million miles away they're not in faith. Just by their body language. You know, there's an example over in the book of Acts where the apostle Paul was preaching. And while he was preaching the gospel, he was observing somebody out there in the congregation. And the Bible says he looked and seeing that this man had faith, seeing that this man had faith, the apostle Paul said to him in a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. Now, this man had never walked a day in his life. It's actually Acts chapter 14. Let's look at it. Acts 14, verse 7. And they were preaching the gospel there. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing your neighbors whining. Huh? How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing the word of God, the gospel, right? Well, he's preaching the gospel. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked, never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Well, that's how faith comes. Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Paul can see from this man's body language he had faith to be healed. He could see this man believed what he was saying. See, he could see this man had faith to be healed. Verse 10, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Now some would say, well, see, that's the Apostle Paul. You know, he had magical powers. You know, he was the Apostle Paul. You know, he had extra special supernatural power, and it isn't here anymore. It went out with the last apostle. The last apostle. The supernatural power left. And so that man got healed back then. But you see, we would never see that today because the Apostle Paul is gone. He's gone to heaven. But now people know it wasn't the Apostle Paul that healed the man. It wasn't some kind of special gift or power on the Apostle Paul that healed the man. What healed the man? His faith in what he heard. What did he hear? The gospel. He heard the gospel and he believed it. This man believed the word of God concerning healing. Concerning healing. Concerning what Jesus does for people. He simply believed the word. Paul, observing him intently, saw it and said, stand up straight on your feet. And the man acted upon the word that he believed. All Paul did was just give him a good kick in the pants. You know what I'm saying? Paul just gave him the permission to act on what he believed. When he acted on what he believed, he was completely healed because he had faith to be healed. Now, a lot of times, folks will have faith to be healed, and they'll receive that healing from God, and they'll be completely healed. Power of God will go to work in their life, and then doubt will still come in. And there's been people that started out completely healed by the power of God and ended up right back where they were. Right back in that sick bed, right back in that crippled condition or whatever it might be. I remember there was a guy when I was out in Oklahoma working as a youth pastor. After service one Sunday morning, he had a brace on his leg. And I walked over, I said, "What happened to you?" He said, "Oh, I was playing basketball and tore some ligaments." And he told me, you know, the bad story that the doctor gave him. And so I said, "Well," I said, I began to explain to him about, you know, what Jesus did for us. How that by his stripes we were healed. That he took our pain, he took these things for us, and that God confirms his word with signs following. And believers, Mark 16 says, believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I just shared the gospel with him, and he just lit up. He believed it. And I said, "Now I'm going to pray for you right now, and this leg's going to be completely healed because God said so." And he believed. So we prayed, and sure enough, his leg was completely healed right there on the spot. And so, in fact, he went out that afternoon and played basketball. But I said this to him right before he left because I've seen it so many times before. I said, "Now, listen," I said, "now, what's going to happen is you're going to start moving around and some pain's going to come into that leg." And I said, "Then these thoughts are going to come to your mind that, oh, you weren't healed. You weren't really healed. And now you've made it worse walking around without that brace." And I said, "When that happens," I said, "just know it's the devil." I said, "Are you healed right now?" He said, "Yeah, I'm healed." I said, "So you know you're healed." I said, "So if that happens, you just say, oh, shut up, get out of here, devil. I know I'm healed." And I said, "You'll be fine." So I saw him a week later at church. He was completely healed. I said, "Man, how you doing?" He told me. I went out and played basketball that afternoon. Da, 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 da. He said, "Hey," and it happened just like you said. I was right in the middle of playing basketball, and this sharp pain went through my leg. And these thoughts came to me that now you've made it worse. You weren't healed. And he said, "I remembered what you said." And I said, "No, devil, I know I was healed. Get out of here in Jesus' name." And he said, "I just went right back to playing basketball." And the pain left. But you see, doubt tried to come in and rob him of what God had miraculously done for him. And it was done simply because he believed the word of God. Simply believed the word. You know, we've made believing into such a big deal. But you know, when Jesus talked about believing, he would just say, "Only believe." Right? He would say it to people. People, with terrible physical conditions. It looked hopeless. And Jesus would look at him and say, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." It's still the same way today. Don't be afraid. Only believe. "Well, I was believing, Pastor. I was believing. I took authority over the devil. I commanded it to leave. But it only got worse." And a lot of times they'll tell you, "Well, I started to feel better." A lot of times I'll pray with folks and they start immediately feeling better. "Oh, I feel so much better. I feel so much better." So, well, praise God. Keep the switch of faith on. Praise God. Just keep thanking God for it. Then come to find out, the situation got worse. Why did it happen? Why do you think that might have happened? Because of doubt, the thief of God's greater blessing. It'll come in there. And you have to protect yourself from this thief of doubt. Listen, doubt comes from the devil. You can trace it all the way back to the very beginning. How many people know when God created Adam and Eve, it was a miraculous thing? He put them in a miraculous garden. There was miracle provision. They were in the blessing of God. And there they are walking in the blessing of God. And God tells them, "Now multiply and fill the earth." You're not done until you multiply and fill the earth. We've only just begun. And they went so far. How far, we don't know exactly, but we know they did not receive a full reward on the thing that God promised them. And why was that? Because there was a devil that got in the garden. And what did he say when he got in the garden? What did the devil say when he came up to Adam and Eve? Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3, 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" I mean, you can hear already what's going on here. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat." Rule number one, don't talk to doubt peddlers. You should be able to recognize immediately the spirit behind these words. Has God said? Has God said? In other words, you're questioning it. There's already doubt here. We're already questioning the word of God. You should be able to pick that up right. Pick it up immediately in yourself, and good at picking it up in others. And don't have a conversation with it unless you want more of it. Recognize it and get away from it. Because if you don't, it's going to get in you. And it's going to rob you. And boy, did it rob Adam and Eve. Did it rob the human race. Doubt did. Doubt did it. Doubt did it. Somebody say the devil did it. Well, doubt did it. Doubt did it. That's what did it. Because if they didn't doubt, they never would have been kicked out. They would have stayed in that garden. But they got kicked out because they doubted. So, verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw, when Peter saw the wind boisterous, right? When he saw the waves, when she saw that the tree was good for food. Notice where her focus is right now. Now, you know, again, if you just stop and say, now, wait a second. God created everything. If it wasn't for God, I would not be where I am right now. I did not get myself here. So the one you're asking me to dislike and doubt is the very one that has gotten me this far. He's the one that has helped me and been there for me from the beginning. And now you're asking me to doubt. How can I doubt when I'm too full of praise and thanksgiving for what he's done for me? But that all gets lost. That all gets lost. We forget about everything God's done for us. We forget everything that other people have done for us. We forget about all the good things and where it all came from and how we got from here, from there to here. We forget about all those things, and we just focus in on what we're looking at right now in front of us. That's what we're looking at. What we're looking at is what somebody else is saying. What we're looking at is the trial, the test, the circumstances of life. A lot of folks get locked in on that. Now, this is what she's looking at. She's lost sight of every other tree in the garden. She's lost sight of everything she has. Now, she's just got her eyes on this one thing. And that caused them to act upon it. And the moment they did, they rejected the word of God and they lost the beautiful plan that he had for them. They lost it all. It was snatched from them by a dirty doubt devil. That's what the devil is. He's a dirty doubt devil. He's got no new tricks. What he did for them, that's what he's doing to mankind still today. Robbing them of God's blessings. Robbing them of the things that God has for them. Doubt is a curse. It's a curse. If you go over to Deuteronomy chapter 28, it talks about the curse of the law. And I mean, under the curses, there are so many things written in the curse of the law, telling us what the curses are. And you get over to verse 66, Deuteronomy 28, 66. And this is what it says. It says, your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. That's a curse. That's part of the curse of the law. Your life shall hang in doubt. The outcome of your life shall hang in doubt. The outcome of your circumstances will hang in doubt. You'll be in doubt. And as a result of doubt, you'll be in fear. And you won't be able to see the blessing of God in your life. But thank God for Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, where it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Whoo, hallelujah. Friend, you've been redeemed from the curse of doubt. So you don't have to doubt. So when doubt begins to come, you can resist it and say, no, I've been redeemed from doubt. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I trust in God. When you're in doubt, it condemns. Romans chapter 14, verse 23 says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. See, we need to understand the seriousness of doubt. See, people see the seriousness of drugs. They see the seriousness of drugs. Drugs is a very serious thing. More than that, doubt is a serious thing. People are going to get free of the addiction of doubting. The addiction to doubt. People are like addicted to doubt. But we want to be free of that addiction. We want to be free of doubt. Doubt is worse than drugs. In fact, why do people go back to drugs? They doubt it. Amen. They doubted God's victory. They doubted freedom. They doubted what he promised them. They doubted. They doubted that they could do it, that they could resist it, that they could do all things through Christ who strengthens them. They began to doubt. Why? Because they lost sight of everything and focused in on the drug. They focused in on the alcohol. They focused in on the problem. Couldn't resist it, just like Eve. She couldn't resist it. She had to take hold of it. She had to have it because she lost sight of everything else. But faith keeps its sights on God and what he says. And friend, you can do it. You can do it. Every faith failure could have been avoided. We don't have to have faith failures. We get to heaven, Jesus will look and say, why did you doubt about this? And why did you doubt about this? I was bringing it to you. You believed, you received, it was happening, and then you allowed some years to go by and that caused you to get discouraged. You allowed years to discourage you. Why didn't you just stay with it, keep growing, keep getting stronger, keep learning? And I'm not really talking about sickness in that situation, but I'm talking about other things in life. The things that God has promised, the provision and so forth that he's promised us in life. He said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Whatsoever things is a lot of things. And some things take a while. There's circumstances, there's people involved, things have to be positioned many times for things to happen, and we just can't rush it. Can't get in a panic over it. But you will if all you do is focus on it. Don't just focus in on it. Focus in on him and what he promised and what he said. And don't doubt. Don't look at the circumstances of life and things that would try to tell you it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know, there's a lot of folks that have quit the ministry. I mean, they started out and they were doing a great work for God. God was using them mightily. And then somewhere along the line, they got discouraged and quit. There were several times the devil came to me. And man, I'm just enjoying myself. I love my job. So appreciative to God for it. But one day the devil came to me because he's obviously had success with other people. So he thought he could try it on me. He came to me and this thought came to me. I just want to quit the ministry. And it came with feelings of wanting to quit. I mean, it came with a heavy, oppressive, give up and quit feeling. And I knew it wasn't my feeling. It was the most ridiculous thing because I didn't feel that way at all. Now, a lot of folks don't realize that, you know, see, because they're talking negative and everything else, and they kind of set themselves up for the enemy to come and put that on them, and they just believe that's them. And they begin to yield to it, and then they put words to their thoughts and say, I just want to quit the ministry. And as soon as they do that, they just set that whole thing in motion. And things begin to fall apart really quick. And they've disconnected themselves from the grace and ability of God to stand in that place. That's what I thought came. I just want to quit the ministry. I knew that was the devil. I knew those were his feelings. It was a spirit of heaviness. And I said, I'm so glad you said that, Mr. Devil. I said, because now I'm going to thank God and I'm going to declare that I'm going to run my race and run it with joy and fulfill every phase of the ministry God has for me. And I just began to say just the opposite, which was like a nightmare to him. Trust me. I mean, he wants you to say this and you're saying just the opposite, which means you're going to get the exact opposite results. Instead of being weakened in what you're doing, you're going to be strengthened and fortified in what you're doing. And he came and he's done that to me at different times, about 3 or 4 times. And I just gave him the same thing back. He hasn't done it in a long time. But he's persisted in doing that because he, you know, obviously he's had success with it with other people. You know, if he could just keep coming, put that down. I just want to quit. See, a lot of folks have started out well, but they didn't finish. They got discouraged. What do you mean? They doubted. What do you mean? Discouragement is doubt. The root of discouragement is doubt. If you weren't doubting, you wouldn't be discouraged. I just feel so discouraged. Well, because you're doubting. What are you going to do about it? Well, what did he say in 2 John? He said, look to yourselves. Watch yourself. Fix that. You begin to get discouraged, you're in doubt. You're going to lose out on God's greater plan for your life. And people have lost out. And people have set themselves back. And then people are wondering. And then they get bitter towards God. They get angry at God because it didn't come to pass. And meanwhile, it's because they keep doubting. And here's the danger of doubt. If you continue in doubt long enough, it'll turn into unbelief. Just like with the children of Israel. You know, again, here they are. They come out of Egypt. God's miracle-working power parts the Red Sea for them. They go through the Red Sea. He provides for them out in the wilderness. But they just kept doubting and questioning. Can he prepare a table in the desert? I mean, they just continue to, what are we going to do about this? They just continued to doubt. And the Bible says they died in unbelief. Unbelief. That's an unbeliever. That's an unbeliever. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Unbelief doesn't just doubt God. It departs from God. And if you continue in doubt long enough, it will turn into unbelief because you get so discouraged, you become bitter and angry at God. And then you just begin to doubt everything and everything God's ever said. And you begin to question everything you've been taught. And you begin to doubt. I had one guy look at me. I mean, he went to the same Bible school I went to. He taught the Bible. I mean, this guy was a pretty solid guy. And then he started reading other things and started entertaining all kinds of doubt. Started looking into church history and just started getting into just all kinds of different things. And he began to doubt. And one day, he looked at me. He was so confused and tormented in his mind. And he said, "I just don't know if I can believe this," pointing at the Bible. "I just don't know if I can believe this. You can make this say anything you want it to say." And he began to reason the word of God away out of his heart. And even though I came back with some really good Holy Ghost answers that totally fixed his thinking, or should have fixed his thinking, it wasn't long. He would get it, and then he'd leave. And then a little while later, he's right back in that again. Just I don't know if I could believe this. He moved over from doubt into unbelief. Unbelief will cause you to depart from the living God. So we have to fix doubt. We can't walk around. We can't settle for doubt. We got to get it fixed. I said, we got to get it fixed. You don't allow yourself to continue in doubt and grow in doubt. Because as you grow in doubt, you're going to grow bitter. You're going to grow bitter. And you'll begin to turn on God by first turning on his people. And then you'll turn on God altogether and just say, "Well, I don't even know if I can even believe the Bible." Somebody say, doubt is an enemy. It's the enemy of the people. It's the enemy of the people. We can't allow doubt in. So we gotta guard ourselves. We gotta watch ourselves. We gotta protect ourselves. We gotta make sure. Now, are these faith words? Am I talking faith words? Make sure we're speaking faith words. We want to walk in what God has promised. Thank God, you know, even when it comes to healing, thank God for natural healing, you know. God's just placed natural healing in our bodies. I mean, people that don't know God, know his word, know his promises, you know, they still recover. They still get better. People get sick and they get better, you know. And thank God for medication. People have gotten medication and they've used medications. And I tell you right now, the devil did not come up with medication. Because the devil is not in the healing business. He's not in trying to help humanity. He's not trying to make anybody feel better. That's what God's trying to do. That's what God's seeking to do in people's lives. God's looking to help people. So God's the one. He's the one that has ordained physicians, medical science, and these things. And we thank God for it. But yet at the same time, we can believe God. Believe his word concerning divine health. Divine healing, where we take authority over the condition. We say to the mountain, we say to the symptoms, be removed. We stand in faith and we resist the lies. We resist the symptoms and they will go. That's what he promised. Have faith in God. That's what he said. That's what we can have. And we need to be looking to come up to that. And stay there. We need to learn to stay there. And sometimes you got to fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight to stay there. And the enemy will try to pull all kinds of things on you. He'll try to get you distracted. He'll try to get you to look at symptoms. He'll try to get you to overwhelmed by things. Just like he did with Peter out there on the water. Try to get you overwhelmed by the circumstances. Try to get you off the word of God. And there's been times where I've had to go to the Bible. Fear is coming. Thoughts are coming. And I'm looking at the scriptures. I'll turn to 1 Peter 2:24 and I'll just look at it and I'll just read it slowly over and over and over to myself. Because I got to keep myself there. I got to keep myself there because I could tell I'm trying to be pulled away. It's not that real to me. I could quote it. By whose stripes you are. I can quote the whole thing. I can quote the surrounding verses. But I'll turn to it, look at it. See? Because the symptoms are trying to get me to look at it. circumstances trying to get, look at it. So I'm going to look at this verse. And then I'm going to go to Matthew 8:17. I'm going to look at that verse. Who himself took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses. I'm going to look at that. I'm going to look at that. I'm going to stare at that. But a lot of times what people do is they just go, I took a diet and I believed it. And then I looked in the mirror. And then I looked. And I don't understand what happened because I took authority and I spoke the word. And then I looked and I felt. Sometimes you got to fight, honey. Sometimes you got to go in there and you got to look at that. We just did it the other day. My son Mark. He comes to me. It was about, 3:30 in the morning. Came to me. He had sharp pains in his stomach. And, you know, you hear about all these symptoms in people. Starts with sharp pains in the stomach, and then it just goes from there, you know. So, I got out of bed. I'd opened up my Bible. We got out there, read the Word of God, took authority over it, received the promise of God. How do you feel? I got sharp pain. That sharp pain continued. And it continued. And it continued for about an hour and a half. About an hour and a half. But we just stayed there. We just stayed there. Just got on my knees and worshiped God. Just thanked him. Thought about how good he is. I envisioned the cross. I envisioned those stripes being laid on his back. By whose stripes you were. You were. Not you're going to be. You were healed. I'm thinking about those stripes. I'm thinking about those beatings. A lot of folks, they believe for a little while, and then they turn on the TV. You know, and then they're going to meditate on, two people were killed today, and somebody died of the pig flu. Swine flu, you know. A bird disease. And if you had spinach lately, it's contaminated. If you were just taking all that in, and not fighting. They're not fighting. And you can apply that not just to healing. You can apply, oh, by the way, after an hour and a half later, completely gone. Completely gone. Pain was completely gone. He went to bed and everything was great. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why? Because the word's true. The word is true. But everything in the world will try to get you to doubt that. Everything will get you to doubt. Well, look, you've been saying this and you've been talking to God about this for an hour. Well, I'm just thanking God for it, meditating on it. We're just going to stay here and thank him. Glory to God. Better than sitting in a waiting room for hours. You know, it's amazing. People will sit in a waiting room of a hospital for hours. We got to go to the doctor. They rush. They get to the doctor. They sit and he goes, take a number and sit down. Okay. They just rushed there. We had to get here. 12 o'clock in the morning. 1 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock in the morning. Are we going to go in soon? Yeah, the doctor called into surgery. He'll come to you in a little bit. Just sit down. All right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. What's on the TV up there in the waiting room? I saw this horror flick last year. I know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to murder these people. There's better things you could be doing with your time. Like meditating on God's word. Get you out of this mess. Hello, somebody. Get you through this trial and test. Why whine and complain when you can get in the word? I've been in the word. Good. But now you're not. You've sunk. Some people, they get offended at the hand. This would never have happened. They snap at the hand, you know. You reach your hand out to try to help them with the word, you know. They get offended at you. They snap at you. It's very sad. You just watch them just sink. Can't do a thing about it. God can't do a thing about it. I mean, what happens if Jesus reached out, take Peter's hand, and Peter said, this should never have happened to me. He would have drowned. He would have drowned. Are we going to get offended? Are we going to get it right? Well, let's just blame it all on God. It has nothing to do with us. No, it has a lot to do with us. I said it has a lot to do with us. Are we going to believe all the way to the end? Now, if you've doubted and you've sunk, thank God you can get back up again if you're still breathing. If you're still breathing, if you're here tonight, I got news for you. We can get this turned around. There's a hand from heaven reaching out to us. God's speaking to us tonight. He's saying, here's the problem, and here's the answer. Get back up here. Get back into believing. Get excited about your believing. Get zealous about what you once were zealous about and excited about and praising God for. Pick it back up again and begin to shout. Begin to thank Him. Glory be to God. Don't just sit there and go, well, I'll try again. I'll try again. I mean, I believed, but he's right. I should keep believing. I'll do it. No, that's not how you believed in the beginning. You were fired up. You were excited. Woo! Oh, the promises are yes and amen. Hallelujah. You sung about it. You're excited about it. You need to get back there. You need to watch yourself. I say you need to watch yourself. Watch yourself at praise and worship time. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Look to yourself. We want a full reward. God's so merciful, He'll get us back. He'll get us back on track if we will do what it takes to get back into believing. And sometimes you're going to have to wait. Wait on the word and spend time. Now, wait a second. That kind of talk is wrong. I'm not listening to that. I'm not talking like that. This is wrong. I repent of this. This is sin. This is evil. I'm over here condemned because I'm in unbelief. I repent for it right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Forgive me. Wash me of this. Wash me of this dirty doubt that's gotten on me. Forgive me of it. Lord, restore me. Get me back. Get me back. Get me back. Get me back to getting fired up about the promises. Get me back. Get me back, Lord, into that. Restore me, Lord. Do what it takes, and you'll have it. You'll have the promise of God. You'll have a full reward. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I want a full reward. Well, are you willing to do what it takes? Are you willing to do what it takes? Let's do what it takes. Glory be to God. Let's get all of it. Let's get all of it. All that God's got for us. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank Him tonight. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.